Welcome to episode 20 of Comic News Insider, a podcast for everything comic and animation. We're your host, Joe.
And this is the goddamn Batman. No, wait, it's Julio. Sorry, Frank Miller in my head.
Well. So this is our 20th episode, and we're sharing yet another interview with you.
Another one.
This one's on the political slant. Dun, dun, dun. So this one's an interview with artist Ward Sutton, who some of you may know, and if you don't, you should. He does a great strip called Sutton Impact. It's available in the Village Voice and several newspapers across the country. He was kind enough to chat with us via phone and tell us a bit about his work and his thoughts and views on political cartoons.
Give it a try. Give it a shot.
Now, one thing...
You might learn something.
That's true. I do want to make a comment, though, before we go on to our interview.
What is that?
Kal-El?
Kal-El. Kal-El Cage.
This is our quick little news... Our only news brief we're going to give you today.
Okay.
Is Nicolas Cage has this new son, and he named it...
Kal-El Cage.
Kal-El. How about that? Well, I can understand if you're a fan.
He's a huge fan.
He is a very big fan.
You would have to be to do that to your son.
Odds are, what are the odds that the child's going to be beat up?
Oh. Hey, look, I'm beating up Superman. I'm beating up Kal-El.
Terrible.
Oh, Nick, what did you do?
Well.
Oh, well. Well, you know, his wife had a say in it.
I know. She agreed.
She agreed. She probably doesn't even know what Kal-El is.
Oh, well. So that's our news. I had to throw that in there because it couldn't go without being said.
That was our news brief.
That's right.
Nick Cage has a son.
That's right. Kal-El. All right.
Imagine
well,
if he had a daughter. It would have been Kara Zor-El.
All right. Nice. All right. No more delays. Let's go on to the interview with Ward Sutton. Check it out. Joining us on today's podcast is artist Ward Sutton, whose work has been seen in the New York Times, Entertainment Weekly, and The Village Voice. Ward, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
So, today's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about political cartoons. And, Ward, you've done a lot of different work, but you have an original strip entitled Sutton Impact that tackles a lot of political issues. Tell us a little bit more about this strip and how you decided to start that out.
Well, I've actually been doing a weekly cartoon since 1990. My first strip was called Ward's Cleaver and ran in Minnesota and a few other papers. And then I started another cartoon called Schlock and Roll, which was originally about music. And in 1998, the Village Voice picked it up, and I started broadening its themes, and then especially after the 2000 election, I put the focus squarely on politics, and I, after a while, I changed the title of the strip to Sutton Impact. And yeah, it's all focused on politics. I've been obsessed with them ever since George Bush took office, and this book that's just come out is a collection of my political work from the last 5 years or so.
Hmm. That's cool. Now, is just the Village Voice carrying Sutton right now?
It's in Sutton Impact is in about 10 different papers,
oh,
but
great.
The Voice is the biggest of them all. But I'm in papers in Chicago and Seattle and Minnesota, Minneapolis that is, and Orlando and Albuquerque and a couple other places.
Excellent.
But syndicating your cartoon is like its own whole job, and it can be very depressing, you know, as a self syndicator.
Yeah.
But my cartoon is something that's very, as opposed to some of the other work I've done for more mainstream magazines, like the ones you mentioned, like Entertainment Weekly or Time or something. With this comic strip, I really try to just push the envelope as far as I can and to really just say whatever I want. It's a labor of love. I'm not making any money, very much money off of it, and it's really just to kind of express my views and my angst about the world And that's part of the reason it's harder to place in papers, because a lot of people are kind of scared off of edgy commentary, I think.
Sure. Yeah, you mentioned that 2000 election there. With the current administration, I'm sure you do have a lot of ideas for topics. Do you ever find it hard to develop strips?
It's funny, you know, the last 4 or 5 years has been unlike any other time in my life, where every week I have to pick and choose what I'm going to comment on this week. I actually find myself kind of wishing I was a daily cartoonist every once in a while.
Exactly.
But prior to that, I'd often have weeks where I'd be scratching my head saying, I can't think of a topic. But this, you know, in this age, I seem to be coming up with more ideas than I have time to draw cartoons about. But I basically kind of follow, I'm sort of a news junkie. I follow the news quite a bit, and I guess I sort of lead with my emotions. The things that bother me the most sort of rise to the top, and that usually becomes a cartoon. And then I'm also thinking visually if there's something happening in the news that would lend itself to some kind of visual expression, if I could create an idea that, because part of the essence of cartooning, as I'm sure you guys talk about a lot on your show, is just that you've got not only the words but the pictures, and that's a really unique way to communicate an idea.
Definitely. So, do you think, specifically, since we're discussing the political cartoons and with what you were just talking about, do you think they're very effective in today's kind of media?
I think they are, because they're kind of a universal way of communication, because you know, you could turn to a newspaper page and just see a wall of type, and you can choose to read it or not read it. But if you turn a page of a publication and you see this cartoon blaring out at you, you can't really ignore it. I mean, you've got to at least look at it, and I think the visual will often draws readers in. You know, I think a lot of people who pick up those free weekly newspapers usually at least read the cartoons, a lot of them anyway. A lot of people do. And this is kind of like a soundbite culture, and in a way, cartoons can function in that realm, because they're short, and they're kind of to a certain point, and it's kind of the way people like to digest things these days, it seems.
Yeah. I think, well, historically, as well, you know, early newspapers and the very first, I guess, political cartoons that were out there certainly stirred up a lot of controversy with what they were depicting at the time, certainly, especially in New York City history, with a lot of the early, you know, history of New York City and the kind of corrupt system that we had a lot of the time, if you go back in history. But a lot of the imagery that they portrayed certainly stirred a lot of emotions that got people a bit, you know, frustrated and angry with what they were depicting as a cartoon. It was something that they never really did before, so it kind of definitely pushed buttons with people.
That's really interesting.
I think that
words do, or I mean, images can speak louder than words. You know, the New York Times, for instance, prior to the 2000 election, they used to have these things called op arts on their editorial page that would be basically like their kind of version of an editorial cartoon. It would have some sort of commentary in it, and it would be drawn or have some kind of graphics. And ever since 2000, since that election, and then especially since 2001, they rarely have those anymore. And when they do now, they're usually more of kind of like a observational thing, like looking at two people playing chess in Washington Square Park or something, as opposed to making any serious commentary. And they're very restrictive about, they don't allow caricature really on that page at all, and which I think is all a shame. I think it's a great art form, and but there's clearly something that scares editors off about it, like they think that the images can be too powerful or something.
Right.
Do you feel that you ever try to push limits with your work, or if you've ever had a back down from something you wanted to do for a paper?
Before the 2000 election, when I was doing work with the Times, I was operating under kind of a philosophy that the more places I could get my cartoons in, that would be sort of a goal to do that, just to get into these different and try to have an impact in whatever way I could, even if I had to tone down or water down what I was doing. But the 2000 election really changed the way I felt about that, and I decided to go in the opposite direction. So now what I do is, I do basically what you're saying. I try to do that to some degree every week. I don't want to create a cartoon that is going to look just like another cartoon that somebody else did. I'm always trying to kind of push those boundaries. I've only really had one cartoon that papers refused to run, which was about Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush having an affair, which at the time of the 2000 election recount, all these people I knew who worked in the mainstream media said, oh yeah, well it's kind of like an open secret everybody knows about but nobody's reporting on. So I decided to do a cartoon that said, well, this is only a rumor, but if it were true, maybe it would have been something like this. And it was kind of just making fun of the election and the recount in with the analogy of this affair. Well, all my papers were scared they were going to be sued, so they didn't run it. But I'm very happy to say that other than that, I've never had any paper balk at any of my cartoons, and that's pretty gratifying. And especially the Village Voice has been incredibly supportive to me.
Oh yeah,
so
definitely.
I'm very grateful to them.
Actually, on a side note, I'll say that in the office that Julio and I work at, we have one of your pieces hanging up at one of we have a lot of editors, and one of the editors has a piece on the desk that from the election with the Dr. Seuss parody.
Oh yeah. Oh cool. That's so great.
The recount, the one fish, the counting one.
The one state, two state, red state, blue
state.
State.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that's like the biggest compliment to a cartoonist. So I really, when people cut out your cartoon or save it, so I appreciate you telling me.
Yeah, it's been hanging up since it came out. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Ever receive any hate mail?
I do get hate mail, especially after the 2004 election. I got these sort of things where people were saying, you know, ha ha, now leave my country, you don't belong here, you're not an American, stuff like that.
Of course.
I probably get more mail that is supportive than negative. I mean, I know I do, and the strange thing that happens with me doing these cartoons is I often get people thanking me for doing them, and that's just a very different kind of response to get as an artist, to be thanked for what you do, and that's you know, kind of makes it all worth it, I'd have to say. And I also, you know, on the theme of hate mail or feedback, I get less bothered by somebody who's obviously disagrees with me telling me that they don't like my work or that I should leave the country or something. The thing that I get most concerned about is that I'm accurate in my cartoons, and so I'm pretty thorough these days, but in the past, you know, years ago, I've had things where I'd do a cartoon and then really worry that maybe I didn't research it enough, and I haven't really had any massive blunders or anything like that, and especially these days I'm much more conscientious about it. I'm in fact kind of overly paranoid about it, that I'll research things that I don't want to depict anything incorrectly or within my cartoon, but most of the time if people are just like disagree with me and they send me something angry, it doesn't really bother me. In fact, it's kind of a compliment. It shows that I guess I'm doing my job.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you stir up emotions, I'm sure, you know, positive or negative, it's definitely working.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, when you were saying you were afraid if you got something incorrect, what are the legalities? Like, are you ever afraid you might get sued or maybe just get dropped altogether?
I haven't had any worry to that degree, and I don't know how the legalities work. If I would ever be sued, I think the paper would be liable more than me. I'm not sure. I guess for me, I've mostly been concerned about my own credibility as a commentator. And so if I were to put something in the argument in my cartoon that was invalid, then, I feel like that would be really bad. So that's what I most get concerned about, more than any kind of legal trouble, I guess.
Yeah. Do you, any artists right now that you think are kind of the same along the same lines as yourself, or pushing the envelope in the political realm, or doing work that you admire as well?
I like a lot of different political cartoonists. And I've been actually reading a lot of older cartoon books, like Herblock books, and I've always liked Pat Oliphant, and I read him a lot and read his older books, and Jeff Danziger in terms of daily cartoonists. I like Tom Tolles and Mike Lukovich, and then my friends in The Voice, my peers and friends, Tom Tomorrow, mm-hmm. Ted Rall, and Ruben Bowling.
Yeah.
I respect their work and like it a lot. I also like Jen Sorensen. I think she does a really good cartoon. But I also draw inspiration from non-cartoon sources, too. Things like The Daily Show and The Onion. And then also, I draw inspiration from cartoons that aren't necessarily political. Like, I really like Dan Klaus and his cartoons, and Chris Ware, and things like that. So I kind of try to draw inspiration from all different places.
Definitely.
But there are a lot of, there are a lot of kind of daily political cartoons that, to me, don't really seem like they, I guess a cartoon that's aiming to be political but doesn't really make a strong statement, to me, seems a little bit like a wasted exercise. And I think there are a lot of cartoons out there that often seem sort of generic to me. So I guess that makes me like the ones I like even more.
Yeah.
I guess you can't name names, huh?
I don't know if I even would have their names to say. I don't know if I would even remember their names. I guess because I focus more on the ones that I like.
Good answer.
Yeah. But basically, cartoons that just sort of name check a current event or try to put like this middle America conventional wisdom spin on something that just happened, it just seems like a waste of time to me. Cartoons that we've got very serious issues going on in the world and they're going to focus on the Michael Jackson trial or something. You know, it just doesn't seem very interesting to me, but I guess there's room in the world for everybody.
Exactly. Are you much of a fan of Aaron Magruder?
Yeah, I like his work a lot, and I know he's got a TV show starting this fall. I'm excited to check that out.
We actually just saw, there's a lot of advertising being done here in New York about that, so.
Oh, really?
It's looking at Cartoon Network. It'll be running pretty soon, I think, right?
Yeah.
So that looks
pretty like mid-October it starts or something?
I think so, yeah.
I saw him. Did you see him at the San Diego convention?
I didn't get a chance to listen in to his panel discussion, but I like his work a lot. And his political stuff, too. He puts in a lot of really clever political slants into his work as well.
Yeah, he's really successful, and I like his work a lot, too.
Yeah.
The only downside, I saw an interview, and he can't work in a lot of the current theme stuff because the animation is so far ahead. So, it's like he can't be very current with what's going on. So his only point, I guess.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. I think the way that, say, South Park works is kind of amazing. I remember during the, I guess it was back at the 2000 election, that they were making episodes really fast, like I think within a week, so they were able to comment on something that happened relatively recently. That seemed pretty incredible to me, but yeah, that makes sense for the Boondocks show.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Looks like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So, other than your weekly strip, any projects that you want to share with our audience?
Well, I'm actually really interested in animation myself. I've done a number of different projects where I've worked as a designer. For instance, I designed the opening to the Comedy Central's show, Strangers with Candy, the animated opening segment to that.
Right.
And I've worked on projects as a director and designer, like for HBO and things like that. But I really want to get into the role of writing and creating animated films and stories. I've been working on a screenplay that's I'm having a lot of fun with, and I'm also spending this next year creating my own independent short film that's animated, and I think that should be a lot of fun. It's going to be, in a nutshell, it's basically looking at a family circus-esque daily comic strip character who one day realizes that he's not funny and his comic strip isn't funny, and then he has kind of a personal crisis. And so it's a little bit of a play on the whole genre of daily comic strips, and
nice.
That's going to be fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Well, Ward, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us here on Comic News Insider.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Definitely.
Yeah. Glad to have you. And for those of you out there who would like to see more of Ward's work, be sure to check out his website at www.wardsutton.com.
Actually, you can get there through typing that in. The official site is www.suttonimpactstudio.com. But both those addresses will take you there. And I should maybe mention one more time my book, which is just out, Sutton Impact, The Political Cartoons of Ward Sutton, published by Seven Stories Press.
And they can get that through the site as well?
Yeah, the site will send you the links to get it, but you can find it in bookstores and Barnes & Noble and stuff like that, too. So.
Excellent. Are you going to be at any upcoming events?
I'm probably not until... Not through this spring. I just got off of doing a book tour, which was a lot of fun. So I'm probably going to sit tight for a little while now.
Not the big New York Comic Con?
No, I'm going to be out of town for that one. But hopefully next year I'll make it.
There'll probably be like 6 feet of snow on the ground anyway.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Exactly.
And let's just remind the audience, it's Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N, Sutton Impact.
So yeah, thanks for pointing
that
out.
Get confused.
Exactly.
Sudden Impact, Clint Eastwood.
What?
Yeah.
All right, Ward, thanks again for chatting with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
See ya.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Ward Sutton, and I hope you gained some deep political insight on the world of political cartoons.
Yes.
It's very good. Check out his site and check out his work. And if you have anything to share with us, want to send us an email, give us some inside information, send all your emails to comicnewsinsider@yahoo.com. And as always, for all your comic book podcasts, make sure you go to the Comics Podcast Network at comicspodcasts.com.
Wow, it's like you have that memorized.
How about that?
Amazing.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Comic News Insider. See ya.
See ya. What are you, retarded? Wait, that's Frank Miller again.